the couple biggest things is you need to have a way to track them. You need to have a CRM or your facility maintenance software have the ability to track leads, whether that's with your property manager entering them or getting automatically inputted via your website or other lead generation sources and being able to track where they're coming from.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Students of Storage. I'm your host, Tully Hannon, and I'm joined by my co-host, Michael Brevda. Our guest today is Corey Bonda, principal over at Prestige Storage. Welcome.
How's it going? Pleasure to be here.
So I figured, Corey, you've got a really interesting story of how you ended up into self-storage. Would love to shed a little bit of light on that.
Definitely. So been in the storage space since beginning of 2017. Prestige Storage now is 63 property portfolio, mostly in the Midwest, ranked top 50 largest operators in the country at about 25, 26,000 units across the portfolio. I first started though out of college. I was a senior in college looking for a job. I wanted to live in Columbus for a year and then move to New York City actually. So saw a job posting. At the time, it was unclear if it was a start because it was a good school. It was unclear if the end of the year meant end of the calendar year or the academic year. But the position was at Marcus & Millichap as a financial analyst. So I applied for the position. I ended up getting it. It was to start pretty much immediately. So I was able to cancel my second semester senior classes at Ohio State and start being a financial analyst. I ended up getting assigned to the self-storage team. So I had no idea at the time I'd be doing self-storage. Start out just underwriting 2 to 3 properties a day. That's all I was pretty much doing was that and the escrow process once a deal got under contract with the brokers. At the same time, I had connected with a guy in Columbus who owned 2 self-storage properties, was building a third at buying 4th. So I started moonlighting with him in the spring of 2017, helping him manage the existing properties, do pre-development on the development, and help with the DD process on the acquisition. July, we close on that property. I handle everything, clearing out units, contacting all the customers, everything like that. A couple months go by and we start having more conversations about look to really try and scale this. 2018, we bought 2 more properties, still manage everything ourselves. So we're firing property managers, training, trying to build a self-storage management company, going to conferences, talking with as many people as I could. 2019, bought 2 more properties, started to talk with our outside investors and really start kind of spreading the word on what we're looking to do. 2020, that's when we officially launched Prestige Storage Management and started to really look to scale the company. COVID happens. We lose out on 2 deals that we were under contract or about to be under contract on. And at the time, we probably had a portfolio of 8 to 9 stores total. Then in the middle of 2020 is when the engine took off. We got under contract on 2 small portfolios that we closed at the end of 2020. So we doubled the portfolio from 8 to 15 stores. And then from there, we were under contract pretty much on a store at 1 store any given time for a 3-year period from July of 2020 to May of 2023. So we grew the portfolio about 15 properties a year. We now have a team year 6, 75 total employees. About 20 of them are corporate staff, district managers, accountants, marketing team, construction, and then the rest are property managers spread across the portfolio. So it's been a wild ride. We were growing so quickly, you couldn't even like appreciate it for the good and the bad. So it was definitely a pretty intense ride there. 2024 is when things definitely started to slow down. Last year, we bought 3 properties, built a 4th in a JV structure, and really retooled the management company to be able to sustain future growth. Obviously, you launched Cubby in November 2024
as part of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think looking back, being a senior in college, falling into self-storage in a way, what are some of like the leadership skills that you learned along the way? Like, were there people that you found as mentors that kind of had a pretty big impact on you getting where you are today?
Definitely. It just goes to, you always hear it in the self-storage industry. It's the only industry I've been in, so I can't really attest to others, but it's always an open industry. You can call any operator. We went and visited an operator in Pittsburgh. We hired a consultant who came from and helped us try to build processes. It's always an open industry. And then from like a leadership perspective, we always just try to lead by example, be the hardest working team out there is kind of what we strive for. You're obviously always going to make mistakes, especially as we grew the portfolio. We early on, some of the mans of the things we did, you definitely learn from them. But being growth oriented and adaptable to change is definitely something that we strive for here at Prestige.
That's evident in my conversations with the manager and the rest of the ops team. Certainly got a good group behind you. What do you do to kind of keep them motivated? Obviously, I always think of the why being super important behind everything that somebody's doing. But I feel like you have a particularly unique way of motivating the team.
Yeah, it goes back to just being transparent on what we want to be. Our goal is to be a billion-dollar company, have a 100, 150, 125 store portfolio. We're very transparent about that. And how do we get there? We obviously have to be able to scale and continue to scale. So we try to invest in our existing team as much as possible, promoting within our three or four of our district managers. No, probably five of our district managers were hired as property managers, and we've scaled those. A lot of our team here has kind of grown that way. We talk about that consistently through the hiring process.
That's awesome. I think transparency is something I certainly value here at Cubby, right? Having kind of a shared mindset is what we're going towards. Is there anything, knowing that your portfolio mix is pretty diverse, right? You have some hub and spoke models, you have a lot of man facilities, you have a couple of that are remote. How did that adapt and change over time? Is there something that you are you like eyeing in one way or another as you continue to grow?
It's a great question. You're right. We kind of have a whole plethora of properties in our portfolio. I would say initially, we were just chasing good deals, especially early on when interest rates were rock bottom in early COVID and competition wasn't quite as fierce as it is now. We went and bought any deal that made sense. That's how we ended up with a deal in Baton Rouge, New Iberia, Louisiana. That was our like ninth and our 16th property. And our first out of state was just Southern, the Gulf States. So that's kind of how we look to grow the portfolio. But then as we did kind of season some of the assets a little bit, we have pulled back a little bit in our mindset and looking towards more Midwest focused properties. You hit on the hub and spoke. I think scalability is incredibly important as we look to continue to compete as a management company. And having 5-6 properties within 30 to an hour of each other is incredibly important versus having just a one-off where it's hard to get to. You normally have that scale. And then another thing that we look for is the industry is obviously changing incredibly quickly. It has changed a ton over the last 10 years. You guys are a big portion of it. And something that we've always joked about is we never want to be cutting edge, a leader in the industry. But actually kind of working with Cubby was probably the biggest stretch that we kind of did for looking to adapt and change. Like, we weren't going to go implement a bunch of kiosks and other things like that, but just keeping a pulse on it and seeing where changes are happening quickly is incredibly important, because as we look to get more efficient with the scalability, utilizing that technology is important.
Great background there. When you're running down and like looking at your metrics, everybody has their kind of series of reports. I think Matt likes to allude to the fact that he imagines you sitting in a chair with a glass of whiskey going through your consolidated management summary. But yeah, what are some of the things that you look at from an operational perspective? Maybe what are some things that are telltale signs of initial red flags And then what are like healthy indicators you dive into?
Yeah, the leather chair analogy definitely started on the first visit that Matt and Adam made to Columbus 4 years ago. Every night or every morning, I do try to look at the consolidated management summary or some dashboard to utilize how many move-ins we had the prior day, because that's definitely the bread and butter. That's what's going to move the dial. Getting new people in the door is critical, especially in today's world where demand is down versus a couple of years ago. So being able to track that quickly, obviously conversion and leads at the higher part of a funnel, and then the lower part of the funnel churn and how quickly tenants are leaving, what rate they're moving out at versus what rate new people are coming in at, is obviously important to track, especially in today's ECRI and very low standard rate environment. Yes, your occupancy might stay consistently flat at 85%, but if people leaving are paying more than the people coming in, your revenue is going to drop. And that's a definitely unique part of storage, of how fluid the tenant base can be.
And it's totally dependent on what's happening in the market. Like right now, not a lot of people are moving. So you have to kind of get a new baseline. Super interesting there.
So switch gears a little bit. Would love to hear, Corey, more about why you got into some third-party management, and then talk about how you think about the difference between the stores that you own versus the ones that you just manage, if there is a difference, or treat it like your own baby.
So we have 3 third-party stores currently, all in Ohio. We don't advertise that we will offer third-party services currently. We're thinking about it for sure, as we have scaled, obviously, the management side. We try our best not to, obviously, cloud district managers or anyone on the team's idea that it is a third-party managed property to the best that we can. We really look at it just like one of our own. Even if the brand name's not the same, we still try to utilize all the same policies and processes to obviously increase revenue, since we're all incentivized to grow it that way.
Yeah, makes a ton of sense. Something else you mentioned early on that's always a fun story on these sorts of podcasts is you made some mistakes early on. Hasn't. I'd love for you to share like a mistake or two that you made early on that's either funny or insightful or like illuminating as to what other folks can avoid, or, you know.
Yeah, I can't, unfortunately. The NDA is and not have to kill you if I told
Yeah,
you.
Sure.
And you can't reference working with me. No. I said you can't reference working with me. That doesn't count.
Exactly. No, we've had a couple. Like, the biggest thing is definitely auctions. Like, that's where you can see the most quick liability and something really pop up. Like, unfortunately, early on, we auctioned the wrong unit. Unit 117 was supposed to be auctioned, and we auctioned 118. And someone came pretty quickly and found that out. So I had to go with like $5,000 in cash to this guy's house and give, I had to go to a different storage property with $5,000 in cash, pay him. And then I got back all the items that the previous owner wanted to rectify the situation. Thankfully, we were able to do that. So I had like my car, like 3 taxidermy deer or kind of stuffed animals, and like this like piece of medical equipment for like eye doctor. It's just like a wild situation. And thankfully, we were able to rectify the situation pretty well. It's obviously an incredibly difficult thing to run into. And then that's probably the most classic example I think of. First time I had to terminate somebody, got a little dicey for sure. I was 22 at the time. We had a new property manager starting on Tuesday. Monday is when we decided to term the person. My partner couldn't come with me to do the termination like he planned. So I was there with some documents that she had to sign, and she just did not take it very well, coming from a 22-year-old who popped on the scene after she started. It was the second property at the time. So she chased me. She threw a cup of coffee at me, tried to lock me out of the office, didn't realize I had a key. So I was able to fool her with that one pretty quickly, and then called the cops. The police are like, is this an emergency? Me being like tough, but no, we're good. situation escalate 10 to 15 minutes later. She's chasing me with a fire extinguisher. I call the cops back. I'm like, it's getting dicey. I'm losing control. He came and settled her down or threatened to arrest her. So I've definitely learned from that situation how to better prepare for termination, obviously scale the company quick enough so I don't have to do that ever again was the thought I had at the time.
That's a couple crazy stories there. So thanks for sharing. I'm sure folks will like that one.
Yeah. Can't say that we've had any experience like that in the office yet, but who knows?
When they fire Tully someday, I'm dicey.
I'm not leaving. Cool. I know, Corey, that you, as a large operator, there's obviously economic efficiencies with, you know, bringing insurance or tenant protection in-house. Curious as to, like, how you went about that, how you made that decision. Obviously, a ton of awesome vendors in the space, but yeah, would love your kind of thoughts behind it.
Yeah. So we launched a Prestige Protection Plan in February of 2024. So we handle all of our protection plan in-house. As we scaled, we kind of realized that, like you said, there would be efficiencies there once you reach a certain number of units and units protected. We decided to bring that in-house. So launched it, launched Prestige Protection Plan in 2024. And then this year is when we started to expand it and offer it to non-owned or managed properties. Really the reason we look to launch this was control, being able to control our auditing and auto enrollments. We saw our total enrollment increase by like 8 to 10% in that first 8 months after we launched it last year. I've also had better control over our claims, knowing exactly where the claims are coming from so that we do see exposure on the property side. Hey, this property has seen an increase in break-ins. Do we need to increase the cameras? This property has a moisture issue. Is there something wrong with the roof? Is there no airflow? Different things like that. And then throughout the claims process, we want to be able to handle, if we advertise the product, we want to be able to handle the claims process with our tenants versus just giving it to some third party and saying, hey, we're sorry, here you go. So those are the big factors that led us to launch the Prestige Protection Plan, the captive last year. And then we want to definitely offer the services to other owners. It's been great to partner with you guys. Coming as an owner, we understand obviously the economic benefits of having a higher enrollment, but also things that you need to look out for as you are working through claims and working through different improvements to the property. So taking an owner's perspective is definitely something that we strive for at Prestige, and that kind of flow down through for the protection plan.
Yeah, makes total sense, and appreciate you shedding a little bit of light on that. I think controlling insights, having a single source of truth is super important. I know that Michael, the last show in Orlando, had a chance to hear you and Matt and a few others speak, and would love kind of talk a little bit about that experience. Michael, if you've got some thoughts.
Yeah, it was an awesome panel. Obviously, Matt, our CEO, is the moderator, but Corey, Mark Poole over at Liberty was on the panel as well. And it was all about like lead conversion best practices. Now, obviously, we talk about that a lot in our day job, but hearing from the operator side of things in terms of how they're maximizing lead conversion in an often tough demand environment right now, right? It's not 2021, 2022 where units are flying off the shelves. So how do we convert as many potential renters into actual renters as possible? It's really something that I think more operators should be even more laser focused on here oftentimes. Corey, if you could just share with our guests maybe 1 to 2 nuggets from what you did back in March or like some of the insights on the lead conversion side that might be helpful to the operators listening to this.
Absolutely. I appreciate you attending that panel. Yeah, I was fortunate enough to be like Mark Poole has a ton of knowledge on this space. So I was lucky enough to just share the stage with him. And obviously Matt did a great job leading the panel. Kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier with the first metric I look at every day is move-ins. And how do you increase the move-ins? Well, you look at higher up on the funnel. You look at where are your leads are coming from. So really, the couple biggest things is you need to have a way to track them. You need to have a CRM or your facility maintenance software have the ability to track leads, whether that's with your property manager entering them or getting automatically inputted via your website or other lead generation sources, and being able to track where they're coming from. Is it pay-per-click? Is it organic? And understanding the really high end of the funnel. And that it's, as you get further down, it's the training and development with your team. It sticks in my head so much. I was calling a furniture moving company last week, and I called the first number on the list that I was given, didn't pick up. I was halfway through a voicemail. The guy calls me back while I'm leaving a voicemail, immediately gives me a quote. I said, hey, I can come help you with that tomorrow. It's those kind of experiences that are critical right now. Like, you get a lead in your system, it has to be called immediately. It needs to be followed up on. It's not, they gave you that information, they requested to be followed up with, whether it's through a reservation or just a normal lead. So you need to follow up with them consistently and quickly. And then on top of that, you got to utilize the different mediums that we have today. It's not just yellow pages and a phone number. It's obviously phones, it's text, it's emails, chatbots. You have these all these mediums available for you to communicate with the tenant. You got to be able to utilize that. You got to be able to text them, say, hey, appreciate you making that reservation. Am I still seeing you for your move-in date tomorrow? Here are the things that I need. And then, so that's a huge part during the training. And then obviously making it fun. Mark talked about a Slack channel was a great idea, but just setting goals on conversion rates and move-in rates and having some sort of competition internally always excites the team. And just being able to, again, follow through with it. Leads are not cheap these days. It's less of them. So being able to capitalize them as quickly as possible is very important.
Yeah, 100%. Completely agree with all of that. I think one other area that we talk about a lot is just your website, right? Like, how easy is it for someone to rent a unit? Can someone even rent or reserve a unit directly from your website or not? I'm sorry to the listeners out there. Unfortunately, it's 2025. You need to allow online rentals. You know, we're not going to get eyes on every single person that moves in. Or even if you do, you need to allow them to complete the rental online and then meet you in person in the office. If you're not giving the option for online rentals, you're losing an unknown number of customers because you can't even track who is there. So I think I'm always, you know, I'm on a panel tomorrow in Arizona around AI and tech and lots of cool AI applications, but I think we can take the low-hanging fruit sometimes, right, and apply that. So always something that we like to emphasize.
For those who don't know, Corey is probably one of the most renowned The Ohio State fans. And so, Corey, I'd love some thoughts on the 2025-2026 season, who you're excited to see play. What are the big games that we should watch out for?
For sure. Yeah, I got the national championship last January. I appreciate the plug there. Got the spring game, had the spring game last weekend. We have a new quarterback, so that's always a big thing to look out for. Got two great candidates right now, it looks like. And then we play Texas week one in Columbus. So that should be a ton of fun.
I think the fan base wants to know, will Prestige be supporting any NIL deals? And if so, who will you be targeting?
We did an NIL deal last year, actually, with Sonny Styles, a linebacker for Ohio State. He came and did he's a Columbus guy, great guy, and came and did a grand opening at our expansion that we did. So we're looking to see if we should do something again this year with Sonny or someone else on the team to showcase our love for Ohio State. But it's funny, half our portfolio is in Michigan. So could do a unique little NIL opportunity there.
We could. Awesome.
Sounds like Tully and I need to make it out for week one.
You're welcome anytime.
I'd have to agree with that. Well, Corey, pleasure as always. Looking forward to seeing you soon. And yeah, thanks for coming on.
I appreciate it, guys. Enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to Students of Storage. Links to any resources mentioned in the episode can be found in the show notes. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a 5-star review and don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.